Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours.
Or should we say 10,000 Miles?
We are on the road with a show currently, and by currently I mean I was, in Portland, Oregon, recording shows on the road, talking with the cool people of Portland.
Absolutely. The last in our series of four episodes where my sweet, sweet co-host Grant got to travel to the natural habitat of the Portland guests and talk to them in their studios in the city and kind of get not only their opinions on our topics, but kind of their opinions on their place.
Very interesting subject matter. And this particular episode was with Kara Haupt.
Kara Haupt.
She was very particular about how I pronounce that. Kara Haupt. And she is the creator of Babe Vibes. You know, very strong, strong voice. One of our more polarizing?
I think that's a pretty safe way. One of our more controversial.
Controversial,
guys. She's got strong opinions.
Yeah,
and she defends those opinions on the show. You'll understand what we're talking about when you listen. And what are we talking about?
So this is episode 28?
28. Waving a flag.
Waving a flag, which is actually, was I think, derived from a Kanaan lyric. K-apostrophe-N-A-A-N. Worth a good listen, I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Check them out. We'll show notes.
Yeah, we'll show notes that. Like, a pre-show show notes?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had that before.
Wow, it's super impressive. Yeah, so we're just talking about, like, standing up for something. Anytime you wave a flag or plant a flag or whatever, it's sort of taking a stand and
having a point of view.
Yeah, you have a point of view, and you also have, like, a very distinct voice. And so standing behind that and dealing with the haters or with the supporters, either way, like, there's something you have to deal with. So
absolutely. And Kara Haupt, if anything else, is definitely a representation of this idea.
Absolutely. And speaking of anything ever.
A flawless transition.
Thank you. no, actually, I will say Kara is like somebody who's super productive and super busy, which is something we talked about off air. Was just like, yeah, she's got a lot of stuff going on. And one tool we actually did talk about off air was Sandbox, which is something I preach to, not just to the choir, but to, you know, to the congregation and to anybody who will
listen. To the masses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because I believe in it. I give a shit about it because it saves me, I would honestly say, 2 to 4 hours every week.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, to me,
that's insane. That's a lot.
What do you mean, 2 to 4 hours? So, it's basically a tool that, at its essence, helps me train my inbox. It helps me decide whether or not a contact or a particular email or whatever is, like, worth being in my inbox. And it basically
keeps
my inbox focused. So I don't get any promotions in there. I don't get anything that isn't something I need
it
to act on or want to act
the
on.
The information, right?
Yeah, it's ruthless. It's great. So thank you to Sandbox for sponsoring this, and thank you for being a great product. So
yes,
I would say
yes.
to everybody listening, it's really worth the 2-week free trial. Like, I was telling Vince a story about, like, a friend of mine who I said, if they don't like it after 2 weeks, I gave him $10 and said, if you don't like this after 2 weeks,
keep it.
Because that's how, like, adamant I am about this product.
And it didn't take long for him to get his $10.
Yeah, I got my money back. This is, like, not
because they tried it and they liked it. I think the same will be true of you when you try it.
So go to sanebox.com/AD/10KHRS. That's 10KHRS. Download that. We'll get a little kickback, which is cool.
Yep.
But we don't care, honestly. Like,
yeah.
It's not about that. So
exactly.
go use that tool for your own life. That's
You'll enjoy it. Thank you, Sandbox, for sponsoring this episode. And thank you, listeners. Enjoy episode 28, Waving a Flag.
I would even say waving. Waving? Waving. We'll see.
Waving that flag.
Waving that flag.
Civil War times. Yeah, I know.
Please.
In Civil War times, the enemy would often aim to hit and kill the flag bearer because it would demoralize the enemy troops.
Well, I mean, that's the same idea. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And today, anyone who puts themselves out on a limb to kind of start something. Oh. Has to face the incoming fire and harassment.
This is a good idea. So Kara should hire two or three people to all bear flags and run, and like
in different
unless they can get them all.
Yeah, well, we're not. I mean, we're not
that really is like a super like relevant and like within the metaphor amazing like reference. So Vince, what are you putting your time into?
Busy at work.
The funny thing is, I mean, I guess these episodes are going to come out like, you know, at least a week apart. But like the irony is that we're recording them within a day of each other.
Yeah, that's right. So you'll hear a lot of the same projects that I'm working on. And if
you don't switch hour by hour.
Yeah, if you've been vigilant over the last couple of weeks, you know, I'm busy on Samsung at work. It's an exciting project.
Next big thing?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's what we're calling it, but it's for their printing division. It's a lot of fun. But I do want to take a moment to talk about the amount of work we're putting into the show this week. It's been a big week, a banner week of recording. We've got some great guests. We've got more to come. Grant is in Portland, 10,000 miles, presented by 10,000 hours. And I
important distinction will be, though, not what's that? Not well, not an actual literal 10,000 miles. I just like we're not fighting that on the show. I just don't want to take some feedback that's like, I just mapped your
so
journey, pal, and it's like 3,800 miles. You idiot!
You guys are like 7,000 miles short. Just so you know, that's the sound of the haters. That's my haters' voice.
That was cool.
All right. But yeah, it's been keeping us busy, and I will be recording my first ever solo intro tomorrow, which is going to break my heart, man.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I might just record one and just send it in and like drop it in over you. So,
all right, well, look out for that coming up soon.
Either way, something's going to happen.
Right. Hey, Grant, what have you been putting your time into recently?
Well, because of the close proximity of the last episode, which I don't want to give away how close it was.
But yeah, let's not. Let's keep it a mystery.
Real close. Music video stuff, some identity design stuff, some top secret CD layout stuff, which has been real cool. Also super stressful, but cool. And yeah, the Vasky video, which I'm super hyped on. I guess by the time this episode airs, we'll have already shot it. So I guess me asking on air for somebody who has a pool that we can shoot at is not helpful.
It's a good way to solicit brags from pool havers, though.
Oh, actually, so regardless, if you have a pool, send me an email. It's grant@10khrs.co. I'd love to come by and
describe the pool,
scout the location.
Don't bother
for a couple days. I'll bring some drinks and just scout the location just to see if it's a good fit for any number of film and prestigious video projects. I'd look forward to your emails. So yeah, I'm working on that. I'm working on some identity stuff. I'm working on some writing. I'm working on a bunch of other shit, man.
And the show.
What show?
Yeah, you're on site. You're soldiering forth onto the great Western frontier.
I'm working on the show. You're right. The show is such a part of me that I don't consider it work, you know?
Oh, my God. You even made me look like a dick somehow.
It is, like, the one skill I have. Yeah. Oh, man. I gotta say, Vince, what I have been putting time into has been securing this podcast guest. Well, not securing. Oh, yeah. That sounds like that implies like some sort of ownership or like entitlement. I don't like that. I'm going to take that back. I don't even know how to. Okay. I've been putting time into getting myself to Portland. And now, hey.
Hey.
That was another clink. Rub some more salt in that wound. So I'm sitting here with Kara Haupt.
Haupt.
That was pretty close, yeah, but I said it a little weird.
I think you had trepidation.
Kara Haupt,
you nailed it.
Who I met on, what's that thing called?
Twitter.
Yeah, or yeah, but more generally the internet.
The internet.
Yeah, yeah, which, Vince, you're familiar with, it sounds like, because you were doing, like, a cool internet impression voice right before.
But I've heard of it.
You've heard of it on the...
Yeah.
You've heard of it through the radio, right?
The internet told me about it, though. So
on the radio medium, they discuss this particular internet medium. So, yeah, I met Kara through the internet, and I don't know how exactly, but I discovered her stuff somehow, whatever. And it was just, like, very clear, like, you were doing some cool shit. And so that makes it almost hard to introduce you, but I know... So you're a designer...
Yeah.
One. Okay. Check. You have an initiative that you recently launched.
Yes.
Like within the last few weeks, probably.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Well, shit. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. We don't like to date things, so we'll bleep that out. I'll say blank weeks ago.
Okay. You can say like I said two or like yeah, fucking
it's,
weeks
it's
ago.
It's really fine.
So it sounds
so
like
okay. So instead of a bleep, it'll just say fucking weeks ago. Fucking weeks ago. All right, yeah, yeah. We'll edit that all in. There's no way anybody heard any of that last part of the conversation. Okay, so you started it fucking weeks ago. And it's called Babe Vibes.
It is.
Which I was about to, like, foray into description land, and I, like, don't want to because I'm, like, nervous about how I would describe it. But so you're a designer. I mean, and not to – this doesn't take away from any sort of authority you have, but you're very young, right? I mean, you're, you know, similar age bracket, right? 21?
22,
okay. So you can drink.
I can drink.
Okay, yeah, we are sharing bourbon right now.
What a great 22.
That's great news. Year, you know, I'm not contributing to – okay, cool. So I guess maybe do you want to give a little bit more – do you want to unpack that a little?
Yeah, what are you working on?
Yeah.
And in the context of that, like, tell us about this project you started.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Vince.
Yeah, so Babe Vibes was this concept and this phrase that I thought of, I think, like, 7 months ago, and I didn't really know what it was or what to do with it. But I started, like, making these, like, journal pages on Instagram and sharing them with this hashtag Babe Vibes. And without really, like, any initiation for me, it kind of became this thing on Instagram. Like, girls would start posting, like, selfies or, like, talking about topics that I would bring up kind of in these journal pages about, like, empowerment and feminism. And then over the course of a couple of months, I started to, like, develop this idea. So right now, Bay Vibes functions as a website, but it's also, like, a concept and a movement. So the website itself is like an online publication, and I also have a shop too with like random Bait Vibes merch potentially.
We wouldn't call it tchotchkes soon. Ephemera. No, not ephemera.
What accoutrements? Paraphernalia.
Yeah, exactly.
Baguettes?
Yeah.
Croissants?
Not that.
Mm-hmm.
Not definitely not.
Just baked goods.
Just a lot of baked goods.
So the online publication itself, I'm kind of focusing on within two topics. I'm calling visual essays and visual interviews. So the visual essays are kind of what I'm thinking of as like a collage that exists on the internet. So I didn't want it to be just like what you think of when you see an essay or a blog post where it's like image and then a block of text and then image, a block of text. So I'm trying to figure out how to like talk about these topics that I'm interested in and collaborate with other babes who are women, and I'll kind of explain.
I'm sure we'll get it. I'm sure we'll get into that. Yeah, yeah.
And where was I?
Yeah, so you're babe vibing.
Yes.
Can I say that? Is that?
Yeah, you can say.
Okay, you're babe vibing. And but you come from sort of a design inspired background.
Yeah, I'm in school right now. Actually, I have 1 year left.
Look at that.
Oh yeah, and so
represent.
Yeah. Represent college.
Where you go to school?
I go to PNCA. It's Pacific Northwest College of Art here in Portland.
We'll show notes them. Do they like you?
They love me. I'm their favorite.
Okay, nice. Well, I just know there are some. I mean, when you stick out in any way, there are like some people like you, some people really don't like you. So
there are bound to be there are bound to be the dissenters. There are bound to be haters. And actually, I'm going to use this. I mean, we'll get back to Babe Vibes and what it is and how and like how it came to be and what it means. In a minute,
every point of view on it.
Every point of view.
Ever?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But this is a great, like, I think, place to introduce our topic. And today we're talking about, if you'll be so bold. And today's topic is waving a flag. And so what does this mean? It's having a project or a point of view, or in some cases a cause, and then how do you talk about it? How do you present it? How do you do work on it in a way that talks about it in the right way and gets other people talking about it and kind of just raises enthusiasm and awareness for it in a constructive manner?
I actually want to start us off here. So
please.
I was just thinking about this idea of the flag and what a flag represents. And if we consider that in the context of actual flags of countries, you know, people are very, very prideful. And
yeah,
these flags,
a lot of pride.
Yeah, right. These are like very literal symbols of their countries. And especially, you know, coming from a design perspective, that's kind of what you strive for when you're designing an identity. You want to give someone something that is representative of who they are, of who they've been, of who they want to be. And so it's like this thing that kind of like needs to like live in a lot of times, in a lot of situations, and be something that the community or the nation or the whatever is really proud of. And I'm sorry to laugh, but I was just going to say, where does this start from, Vince? I think you probably know. Like, how do you come up with something that is representative of all of these phases and potential phases? By knowing yourself, right?
Self-awareness is where it all starts.
Yeah.
It's looking in the mirror and it's finding something that you can believe in personally, something you don't have to fake, something that comes naturally and that you have the innate passion to talk about in a genuine way.
Yeah, and I think, like, from a design lens, that's really, really challenging to capture. And I think great designers do that with an identity project, with a flag, if you're going to design a flag.
Right.
You know, I know we're sort of speaking a little bit more metaphorically here, but, you know, there is something powerful about that. And that is to say that, you know, your identity, and let's say that extends into other things, not just physical per se, you know, like clothes or like something like
right,
hair
right,
color,
right.
But like that identity stems from somewhere and you need to somehow communicate that to the world and to the people. And so I guess that's just, that's a really interesting, important place to start from. And
yeah. And I think my first question would be, not to interrupt, sorry,
please,
man,
shut up.
But what would you consider Babe Vibes? Would you consider it a movement of sorts? Is that going too far or not far enough? Like, if you were describing it to someone in like one sentence, how would you say, this is how I talk passionately about Babe Vibes, and this is what I want it to be?
Huh, I feel like the one sentence is hard. I don't know if I have found the one sentence yet, but sorry. But yeah, I think it's a movement, and it's an idea and a perspective on confidence, specifically for women. The name comes from the word, first, babe. I've always found a lot of power in that word. I always feel like it's a very like confident word, like oh, she's a babe, and it kind of has to do with sexuality a little bit.
Sure, what a babe.
Sure, yeah.
But it doesn't feel like demeaning, and some people could say it is,
maybe,
and there's room for a critique of that,
sure.
But I was always, I'm really obsessed with Beyonce,
yeah.
Who isn't?
Well,
though, right?
And let's give some context here, like, she's glowing right now. She was regaling me with the tale of, and she was almost brought to tears, not quite.
I cried twice, yeah.
But I mean, even today, I could see just like the beginnings of tears in your eyes. But she went to Beyonce last night, a Beyonce concert. And like,
oh my God. I feel blessed to be in the wake of such an event.
Dude, and the cool thing is for me, like, I saw her the night before, and then she went, and now it's the day after. And it's like,
it's a whole
change
new person.
Is real.
Yeah. Like, I honestly really didn't like her 2 days ago, but like, now it's like, wow, she definitely turned the corner.
I'm glowing. Well, there's this line in her song Jealous from her last album that I love that song. And I love that album because she displays like so many different perspectives on herself, or like on womanhood, of, you know, being sexual or a mom or feeling jealous or dealing with grief, like all these different aspects of being a human that doesn't like put her in one block of, let's say, womanhood. And so I love that album for that reason. And I love Jealous. There's this line in it where she says, baby, I look in the mirror and I say, baby girl, you can't treat yourself like this. That's not it exactly. I'm fucking it up right now. But
you're paraphrasing.
Yeah, that's the essence of that line.
Sure.
And so I think I'm really obsessed with this idea of calling yourself a babe. And I love babe because it's a term of endearment, usually between partners.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I really like that idea of affection, but like reflecting it back on yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really weird way for people to think of themselves, but specifically women to be, they're always, you know, we're always told to be that you are naturally or something like affectionate towards everyone else, but then you never pull that back on yourself. And so that's kind of where I find like the power in babe. And then vibes comes from this idea of like vibes and the energy that you put out and give out into
good
the
vibes,
world.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's something I say quite a bit.
Yeah.
Actually, shout out to Tato. Tato from South Africa. I worked on a project with her last summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry. But I just mean like she definitely instilled the vibes lingo and vernacular into my life.
Yeah.
And like I made fun of her for it like for like a week. And then I started picking up on it.
But then you started to believe, man.
Well, that is a good sign, though, of, like, affection for someone. That's, like, a great sign of it for me is, like, oh, I start talking or, like, adopting their mannerisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. It's, like, a cool thing for that to happen because you don't do it consciously.
Yeah.
But I mean, even within what I just said is something that is important for, I mean, really waving a flag. What does that mean? I mean, it's, like, building a community, building a nation, building whatever.
Building momentum behind an idea.
Yeah, and for that to, I think, really build up, you need to have a common language and a cause or a vernacular that people can get behind. Like, language is super, super powerful. And so I think,
I mean, yeah, that's
yeah, not to be flippant about that, those choices, no. But those are, like, really kind of important choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is, like, of the times, too. But not two of the times. So I mean, it's like a great, it's a really good name.
Thanks. Yeah. So that's what Babe Vibes is. Is yeah, kind of like that marriage or partnership between kind of an affectionate empowerment of yourself and then being able to have that to share it with others.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. It's a cool community.
Yeah.
And speaking of that community, how has the idea, and I know it's still in kind of its youthful stages, but how has Babe Vibes been received both kind of in your internal like personal community and in the community at large, kind of on social media or online? How's the feedback been?
Yeah, I mean it's always kind of like a weird thing to like quantify.
That's something we talk about a lot. I mean, we had Megan Signoli on episode 22, like Vine Star, and I think we might have even discussed this like mm-hmm. a few nights ago, just like we did discuss this idea of like quantifying ourselves on social media and like what does a like mean and yeah. what does it's a really tough thing
but beyond that
I mean you make stuff for an audience, right?
Yeah.
And so like this is a form of feedback.
Totally.
So, sorry.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and I was gonna say even more than a quantifiable, what's like been the qualifiable, what's been the like general like, consensus, kinda, not
what's
has
been
like
the,
taken off
the,
or gone viral
the vibe.
Or whatever. Yeah,
the vibe has...
have the counter vibes.
The Babe Vibes vibe has been really, really positive, and it's been awesome. Especially, it's funny, the word babes, I started using it to describe myself and other women. And I've noticed, like, my inner circle friends uses that word all the time. They're like, oh, hey, babe.
There it is.
You look
language
like such
adoption.
A babe. Yeah. And I even, like, noticed I turned 22 a couple of weeks ago. I guess
it's
last
palindrome.
Month.
Palindrome. It's such a good age.
Yes. And
great number.
And it was so funny because, like, almost all of the birthday wishes I got, like, people, like, on Facebook are texting me. They're like, happy birthday, babe. Or
like, happy babe day, b-day.
Exactly.
Happy b-day, babe.
So, yeah, that was really funny to, like, see that being picked up in, our, like, my immediate lexicon, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a thing, though, right? You start to use it, and then it's like, I mean, I guess that is how language starts to, like, move through culture in general. Which is super, I mean, that's a whole other show topic, but that is an interesting thing. I mean, even like terms like bae or terms like turned up. I mean, like,
yeah.
And we don't have to like get into that, but like, That's fucking interesting.
Totally.
It's just like a different language.
Yeah, because there are like different languages and within languages and the subcultures of that, which is really awesome.
How does that translate? The question is, how does that translate to Spanish? What do I say? You know what I mean? I'm curious. I'd love to talk to some international students.
Yeah.
Or not just students, people.
So how are you waving this flag for Babe Vibes? Like, what's the, are you promoting it at all? Are you talking about it in your daily life? Like, what's this looking like? How are you kind of like generating
stickers,
conversation,
right?
And
stickers. Stickers and billboards.
Stickers and billboards.
30-second commercials,
yeah,
on
the infomercials
media.
Are going really well.
She's on QVC right now.
Yeah.
She's actually not selling anything. She's just like
feature
selling
like
the
movie
stickers.
Coming out this summer.
Yeah, called Babe Vibes. Okay,
yeah.
Yep, that was the
yeah, that's
title.
A good title.
I was hoping that I would, like, it, you know, when you start really to well. Say something and you hope that your mouth is gonna like come up with a cool name and then it doesn't. Hey, we'll edit that out.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. So how are you waving the flag?
You know, before I like officially launched it, it was something that I talked about and I used, like I said, in like a hashtag on Instagram. And that was before I really solidified or even told anyone, like, specifically what it was about. And so I think that kind of built up a lot of momentum and people were really excited because they kind of could pick up on, like, the nuances of what it was as a movement.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't as specific as I've made it now because it took me a while to clarify it. But I think I'm really vocal about it on, like, Instagram and Twitter. And I'm also, like, a very outspoken, opinionated person in general about,
hardly.
Like, just a little bit, like about feminism on whatever
on whatever platform.
Yeah.
There is. No, but I mean, so I guess if we think about this, like in a weird like way of you like showed drafts of the flag. I think,
yeah,
right. I mean, it was like the way you talk about the things and the way you start
yeah.
using the language is like,
for sure.
Oh, here's the flag a little bit,
it's
here's
trial,
the flag
right?
a little bit, and then at a certain point you just start fucking like. Waving that like
yeah.
the thing that you have and then it's kind of like at that point as much as the flag, the quote-unquote flag, I mean, I know we're super like metaphorical right now, but like as much as it changes, like it is the same as when you start waving it, you know, it like you take the stand and then you start waving that and then it becomes what it is. I mean, like the, let's just say if we were gonna like compare this to like patriotism, right, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the American flag has changed a little bit, right? You add stars to it, but the main construct is there, and it doesn't, like, it now is, like, such a part of the culture that it really, like, as long as it looks like the same, the original, like, it doesn't really matter. You can make alterations.
Yeah.
So, like, you figured out the general layout of the thing, and then you just started waving that motherfucker.
Yeah, totally. Which is really exciting. To allow something to evolve that way,
mm-hmm.
Which is like the best thing as like an artist and a designer.
Super hard to get to that point. I think.
Oh, totally.
We talked about that before, right, Vinny?
Absolutely, man.
Once or twice?
15, 16 times.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So, I'm kind of interested to see.
Oh yeah.
Your point of view on this. Is there anything like that you've done, past, present? Not future, because that wouldn't make sense for the question, but past or presently, that you would consider kind of like something that you've picked up a flag and started waving it?
Yeah, here's what I would say. My version of like iterating the flag, kind of like what I just talked about with you like showing versions of it, was especially when, because as you know, man, I've striven,
yeah.
Strove sounds cooler.
I actually like that better, so we're going with it.
I think it's strove. Isn't
well,
it?
I strove, but in the present I've progressive,
striven.
I have striven.
Yes.
I have striven. I've striven
right.
to be multidisciplinary. Like, that's a huge part of who I am.
Absolutely.
But,
we've talked about that. Before,
like, yeah, we have. We've talked about that a bunch. But, like, that is a huge challenge in terms of, like, the business side of things, of getting work. Because, like, and even from my own perspective, as I've said before, hiring somebody who thinks they're a jack of all trades is, like, super annoying. Unless they're really good. And
right,
so
right.
For me, I was like constantly, I think in school, like I was just like learning about all of the different disciplines and like learning how they talked and what their sort of qualifications were. And then I was like putting these little patchworks of a flag together and then like testing them out in the square way I spoke square. About what I do and who I am. And then eventually that kind of developed into a general flag, quote unquote flag, that so like my testing period was very much in that time. And like, I feel like my flag, if we're going to keep going on this, I mean, but like my flag sort of has different sections. And if all the sections look good, it looks good as a whole. But if one of them doesn't look good and I'm like representing them all, it's super obvious. And so like, let's just say I have three buckets. And if one of them is not like up to the brim, the rest of like, it doesn't look good as a set. Right. And so that was sort of like the way I acted in terms of like figuring out, I mean, just working on my craft. And so I think that was like a really important thing. And then I think to take a step from there, starting the studio, starting less, and like figuring out how people reacted to that, and figuring out how to talk about it and how to represent that and how to wave that flag, because it's not super easy to just jump into like, hey, look at me, like I am this, because I don't necessarily know. And so I guess within that really is that idea of self-awareness of figuring out what the fuck I am or what the fuck this is, and then I can more confidently wave that flag. And now I think I have a much better sense of it. And I also, you know, as time goes on, you build up a better base of people and of relationships that support that flag waving. So I guess, yeah, where I'm at now is I feel good about the direction of my nation.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think you summarized it well in the fact that, like, sometimes this flag waving is not, like, immediate and decided
revolution
point of action to just like get a flag that you know exactly what it looks like and pick it up and start waving it aggressively. Sometimes like your flag is forged over the course of like months and years and a lifetime,
decades,
and you learn centuries. How to wave it as time goes on.
Not totally. I mean, and that's kind of part of the iterative mentality too, mm-hmm. which we're very much a fan of, and which I really liked. When we were talking with Evan Schneider on that particular episode, I appreciated his perspective on that.
His candor on that.
Yeah, we'll show notes that.
Yeah, for sure. And in terms of Kara's answer, I think something important she mentioned, and I'm going to ask her to get back to that.
Which is everything.
I mentioned everything.
Yeah, absolutely. is the idea of culture, and really the idea of like waving a flag is to, in some ways, to influence or to build culture. I think, at least to me, building a community, building support, it starts and ends with building a culture around this idea.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what is the culture that surrounds Babe Vibes, and how do you want it to evolve, and how do you describe it to people who are curious to know what it's about?
You know, it's really about empowerment and just Babe Vibes of sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Babe Vibes is about
it does
babe
say
vibes.
A lot, yeah, though. Babe I mean, vibes honestly, man, about... like the word, the just those words, like they do say a lot that it's like hard to articulate.
Yeah. And I think it's very positive. And one thing that I've been really picky about when I choose the kind of rhetoric that I use for the site, I get frustrated a lot of times with some like feminist rhetoric that makes like this idea of like superwomen into being these like machines that aren't human. And so I'm interested in empowerment of understanding that like there are reasons that you feel bad about yourself, or like as a woman, you feel bad about yourself because you've been told all of these things since you were a child. And so, I want to be really, really positive, but I also want to acknowledge that and say like, it's okay to feel this way, but here are the
tools.
Right.
You don't
want to
be blindly positive. You don't want to be, you make it into a farce of positivity.
Yeah. And I think people have really, really picked up on that. And I try to be pretty candid about that of the things that I go through. And to talk about them positively, or like see the positive things that
it's
kind of
like
out
a
of
dark
it.
Humor,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, yeah. I mean, in a way, I find that's like the most digestible way that I found in the people I really connect with, and I do think that's kind of what you channel in some respects, at least. Is like, this is like a fucked up situation, or this is really like lame or bad and like this makes me feel this way, but like, huh.
Yeah. And yeah, you find your community within that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm thankful for feminism as a movement for the fact that it really helped me understand myself and other women and how they function in this culture. But it also like provided this sisterhood and this support. And that's also what Babe Vibes is like this small community and this culture of women that want to talk about these issues and they want to bring each other up. So if that answers your question.
Yeah. So that's an interesting sort of, let's dive into that a little bit, which is you are for a very, not very, but you're for a niche. You're for a specific audience.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. More specific, kind of? More specific than everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's specifically women.
Yes.
And I also understand that, like, the babe identity, if you will, isn't going to be something that every single woman is going to identify
with. For sure.
But I do try to go to lengths to make sure it is, you know, as inclusive and intersectional and, yeah, accessible as possible.
Right. You're not saying babes is kind of like a... You've got to be a babe to talk about this. You're saying like anyone can be a babe.
I'm saying
only women can be babes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's an interesting point. And like, well, okay. The first point, which I think is lesser, but is still valid, is like, do you get, you know, haters and like, how do you deal with that? You know, I think anytime anyone does something that is not for everyone, that is just you are a bright light among in the night, and there are mosquitoes everywhere, just like flocking, right?
Haters are attracted to that. The moths
are coming to your lamp. Okay,
to the flame. To throw in a brief historical parable, it's Civil War times. Yeah, I know.
Please.
In Civil War times, the enemy would often aim to hit and kill the flag bearer, because it would demoralize the enemy troops.
Well, I mean, so that's the same idea. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And today, anyone who puts themselves out on a limb to kind of start something has to face the incoming fire and harassment.
This is a good idea. So Kara should hire two or three people to all bear flags and run, and like unless they can get them all.
Yeah, well, we're not. I mean, we're not.
That really is like a super like relevant and like within the metaphor, amazing like reference.
Thanks,
but it's kind of in the same idea of like killing the king, right? And the cause,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So how I guess the question is a long-winded way of asking: how do you deal with like detractors? Have you dealt with any detractors? And what is your like response to that?
Well, yeah, so answer that first, and then I definitely have like the follow-up.
Okay, so you want me to answer it?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think there have
where does that come from mostly?
Men.
Yeah, and so that was my follow-up question was like, and the context is, and well, yeah, we can get as into or not as into this as you want to, but we were talking about this the other night, and I was kind of naively, to be honest, like asking you about what you were doing and like how I could support it and like feeling like, I want to support this thing. And you were kindly, I think, educating me on that and also saying that like it's not for me.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And I think most men have been socialized to think that the whole world is theirs. And so a lot of times if some type of movement or thing is presented, you know, only to women, they get a little like thrown off, except I think most women have been socialized to believe that there's a huge section of the world that isn't accessible to them because they are women. And I think there's empowerment in me making work that isn't for men, and I don't really care about their opinions on it. Because it's not for them. You know, it's irrelevant to them. And I think Grant and I were talking about this. I've, you know, had men give me compliments on it, or in giving me a compliment on it, kind of act like they're giving me, like, the ultimate compliment. They're like, oh, here, I am a man, and I'm impressed with this thing that you're making that's for women. And I'm like, cool. I'm glad you think it's cool, but like, honestly, your opinion is irrelevant. Which I think is kind of jarring for a lot of men to handle.
And so, yeah, I mean, I have a couple of reactions right away to it. I think it's jarring for anyone to be told that, like, this isn't for you, even though it's something that's completely reasonable to say, especially in this context. You're not making work for men.
No,
and
absolutely.
This movement, this idea is not for men. And I don't think that's, like, outrageous at all. And I think people who are detracting to this idea for that reason are being pretty nearsighted.
Yeah.
I mean, people make things for certain subsections of people all the time, and it's meant to talk to them in specific ways. It's meant to be empowering to that group of people
for
a specific reason. Exactly. Exactly. But I do think it's a natural sort of feeling when you express support. Maybe it's a misguided way of expressing it, but then you're told, like, okay, fine, but this isn't for you. I think it's, like, a natural feeling to kind of be put out and to be kind of shaken up by that.
Well, sure. Though, I mean, there are a lot of, like, reactions to things that I would say are natural, but it's just also having to, like, examine that and say, oh yeah, you're right, this isn't for me, and so I'm not gonna talk about it in that way that it is for me, or that my opinion matters. Like, I think this happens a lot of times in art school. If, you know, a woman makes feminist work, and it kind of parallels what I was saying of a man giving a compliment on it. And like, it's kind of like this idea that the male opinion is what's going to legitimize it. And that's the more of what I have it, you know, I have a lot of issues with, is men feeling entitled to this, or like, and honestly, a lot of times they do it jokingly, which really bothers me. They're like, oh, I'm a babe. They like make it into a joke. And I'm like, it's not a joke. It's like a real thing, and it's not for you. So like, step off. And then also realize that when you're complimenting it, that your opinion is like the least relevant of all of them, and it's not going to legitimize it.
Yeah. So okay. So Vince, before you get to,
it's definitely
okay. Like, and feel free to like jump in at any point. Sorry. Feel free to jump in at any point. It's definitely like slightly inflammatory, right? I mean, sort of by its nature.
Yeah.
That reaction or that,
it's,
like.
Yeah, it's a little confrontational.
But I think in a lot of ways, at least how I understand it, is that like, at least how I'm understanding your reaction even to a compliment about your thing, right? So that's a very real thing for someone to want to support someone else who's doing something that they like, right? That's a natural thing. For you to rebut that is slightly unnatural, mm-hmm. regardless of the context. I mean, that's just slightly unnatural. But I think, and I would even go so far as to say it's kind of unfair, quote unquote unfair, but I really do, at least in my perception, and I'm qualifying the hell out of this, but for good reason, in my perception, that is an unfair way to rebut something, okay? But I think that is like a reaction to a general unfairness that is almost the only way to create any sort of like introspection about that whole situation. And so in a lot of ways, it like, honestly, it kind of annoys me, but then I take a step back and I go like, well, like, thank you. Like, thank you for annoying me, because if you didn't, we would just carry on.
Yeah. And I think this kind of thing can also go back to like this idea of a man giving a woman a compliment, like telling her she's beautiful. And let's say it's from a man that doesn't know the woman. Like, sure, that's maybe well-meaning, but intentions are irrelevant in the fact that like, I don't really care if a strange man thinks I'm beautiful. Like, that's irrelevant. Like, his opinion doesn't matter in the scheme of like how I see myself.
Right. Okay. So, sure. So we should show notes this, right? What is it? It's impact versus intent.
Yeah.
By.
It's a concept that like Audre Lorde has talked about.
She's really okay. Okay. We'll show notes that. That's like definitely an important concept to explore, I think.
Yeah. So intent versus impact is understanding that when you say something, let's use, let's say, sexist as an example. So let's say somebody says something sexist and somebody else calls that person on it and says, hey, that was sexist. And then the first person goes, well, I didn't mean it and I didn't intend for that, which is true. But once you say that thing, it's out there and it's become its own thing and it's functioning in the world as an oppressive tool. So it doesn't really matter that the first person didn't intend to be mean or angry about it, because it's out there in the world impacting. So it's like that first person saying, oh, okay, I didn't mean that, but I understand that it's now doing harm, and I apologize for that, and I will repeat it. That's what intent versus impact. And a lot of people get frustrated when they're called out on something, because they're like, well, I'm not a horrible person. I wouldn't ever mean to do that. But like, okay, maybe that's true, but you did say it, and it's out there, and it's doing harm.
So I think the important distinction, though, there is for... So I think that's where the uncomfortability comes between someone giving a compliment, which is well-meaning, mm-hmm. and it being rebutted, is like, well, what? No, I meant to like say this is a cool thing. I respect this thing, and it's for you to say, well, like, I respect that you've given that, but like, it doesn't matter, and that feels weird. And so it is important to say, though, like, that doesn't, at least in my opinion, it doesn't take away from well-meaningness. It doesn't mean that you had a good intention and it did bad. That doesn't mean you are bad. It just means the thing was not necessarily positive.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you need to take it like separate from your intention, and that you calling me out, for example, is not based on the intention. But I think that's an important distinction to make, that like when you put it in those terms, it's kind of cold and it's like accurate, but it does, even if not necessarily, it feels like it implies that your intention doesn't matter, but the intention does matter on a certain level.
On a certain level.
Oh, for sure, on a level.
On a
like,
level.
There's no way you're gonna argue to me that like intention doesn't matter.
Doesn't completely not matter, but like the impact is much more important.
Sure, but I mean, then we like delve into like a huge, huge rabbit hole of like philosophical discussion about outcomes versus actions versus like intent. And I do think, as much as you are right, I think the important distinction is that between intent and action is an outcome, and based on that outcome, you need to be aware of the action and correct it as such. And it doesn't, right. Like your intention there is now irrelevant somewhat.
Yeah.
So
so waving a flag.
So that's the flag I'm waving.
So just to, I don't think points of view are as disparate as maybe they're coming out to be. Like,
it's sort of semantic.
I think at the end of the day, and I hope that we're in agreement on this at least, as long as all parties involved are kind of working towards the same goal of making a positive environment for everyone involved, and there's an open discourse.
Well, except from...
Right. I think the fact that that a person comes to you and says... A male comes to you and says, I think Babe Vibes is cool. You say, great, but your opinion doesn't really matter. And they go, okay, but why? And you say, well, I make it, it's a woman making this idea a reality for other women. It's an empowering thing for them. And so even though it's great that you support it, it's really not important to the cause that you support it or don't. And they say, oh, I kind of understand where you're coming from, but don't be a dick to me when I say I think your thing is
or
cool.
A vagina.
Right. And don't be an asshole, maybe, is a gender.
Oh, nice.
Neutral.
That's a shared thing we have.
Exactly. And so then you're like, oh, yeah, I wasn't meaning to do that. I was just trying to tell you, like, it's like a thing that has a very specific purpose, and it's for a specific group of people. And without the exclusivity to that group, it loses some of its meaning. And then you both smile and shake hands and walk away. But if you don't lend any credence to the intention, then it's just kind of just
snobbery. But then what is the impact back, right? I mean, that is kind of a question, is like, so your intent is to say like, sorry, this is not for you. But then what is your impact in the reverse?
In the reverse, it doesn't really matter, because it's a, you know, being who's oppressing and who is oppressed.
Okay.
Well, this is where I have to disagree then, right? Because... But you're creating a very real impact on this person who is well-meaning and has like limited viability, et cetera, et cetera. But so this person comes up to you, well-meaning, gives you a compliment. You say, hey, great, but it doesn't matter. Then you had just had an impact on this person. And so
yeah, but you
this
have
person
to think
is
going to
spread
impact
that and... impact to others, right? And so this it doesn't just live and die with this one interaction.
Certainly. I mean, but you have to think about, like, me hurting a man's feelings because I tell him that his opinion on Babe Vibes is irrelevant isn't actually doing any harm in the world because men aren't oppressed. Okay, if we're thinking about oppression and the fact that it has to be tied with, you know, systemic and institutional issues, just like you can't really be sexist against men or you can't be racist against white people. So
well, I mean,
into an entirely different topic. I guess I just want men to be aware that not everything is for them, and feminism isn't necessarily for them, and Babe Vibes isn't either.
Yeah.
And that they just have to go through the world understanding that, and to know that a lot of times their opinion is irrelevant when it comes to what I'm doing right now.
Well, I think this is as good a time as any to kind of change the pace of conversation.
Yes.
And to do something we like to do every week, which is thrown in a little bit of an off-topic topic. And so this is just like, I mean, people who have listened to the show have heard it 1,000 times. Well, actually, specifically 25
20
times.
Sometimes, yeah.
Right. But basically, we talk about something a little tangential to kind of break up the conversation. And while my sweet, sweet co-host is on the coast in Portland, we are talking about home and what it means to our guests and ourselves. And so I would like to pose the question to you, Kara. When I say home, what do you think of right off the bat? It can be physical. It can be metaphysical. It can be metaphorical.
It can be irrelevant.
It can be whatever you like.
It could be geometric. It could and it could be or it could not be. And I just want to like cover all those bases.
I think home to me right now is specifically my apartment, but not specifically Portland. And yeah. I know that might be a little weird.
No.
Like Portland doesn't feel like my home. And it's been great and I'm looking forward to moving on. But I really, really, we moved my roommate and I. Who's been my best friend since like age 9.
Shout out to her. Should we shout out to her?
Shout out to Steph.
Steph, yeah. What's her
wait,
handle?
Wait, Steph who? Yeah.
It's irrelevant. She'd be like, what?
It's irrelevant.
Oh, no. Steph, you're not irrelevant.
No, not that. I just meant like the handle. Okay. Yeah.
And so it's a very, very positive environment. We moved into this specific apartment. We've lived in Portland together for almost 3 years. But we moved into this specific apartment together about 7-8 months ago. It's just been a really, really positive environment for me. And it's been really cool to, like, you know, as you transition out of your parents' home into dorms, into first apartments, like, this idea of, like, making a home and creating it for yourself. And I just feel a lot of, like, comfort there. And, yeah, that's what home is to me.
Yeah, I mean, Vince, we've obviously explored the topic somewhat, but...
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is something that we've heard multiple times, right? It's like...
In a good way.
Yeah, exactly. In an affirming way, it's that a certain space is a home when it has a connection to you and when you have a connection to it. There's no, like, predefined, like, place that home can and can't be. It's the fact that you feel at home there, and so it is home.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the what makes it that though, when we're thinking about space, because like my last studio did feel like home, even though it wasn't home. It kind of felt more like home than my actual home did, and you'd been to both, right?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
and I remember spending more time with you at the studio.
Yeah, right. I mean, because I spent more time there. Like, I was going to say, you know, you would think, like, okay, you sleep X amount of hours a night, so you're probably... But, like, I slept there a fair amount, too.
Right? Yeah.
It was kind of a crazy time, man. It was, like, real, real busy.
I like that spot. I like your new spot, but I like
Thank you. I like the new spot a lot more, but, I mean, it was a good place. And the thing is, to me, it's almost like if you think about even a relationship, like, there are those flags, there are those indicators of levels you're getting to. And for me, it was like, once I start to customize the space, you know, not that you can customize a relationship, but once you start to like, in a space, you start to like put up things, and start to shape it to your needs, your functionality. And like, you know, I bring in a table or this desk, or like, it just starts to like feel more complete. Like it feels more like a part of my vision I had for the space. That is like really when it starts to feel like really, really homey and like comfortable. Absolutely. And amazing. Dude, yeah. And like, I love my space right now. I really hope you can get out to Minneapolis at some point. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Come visit. I love the space too. And kind of like to parlay that into my own, I just moved as well. Moved in May, and kind of like growing up with this new apartment has been like something really unique to me. Until now, I'd lived in like dorms and condos, and I'd never lived in like a proper old apartment. And now I moved into this like 89-year-old brownstone,
yeah,
in like nice. More of a neighborhood. And it's this cool. place is like, I have like a real love-hate relationship with it, but slowly, even as the problems mount, the love grows and the hate wanes. Like only a month. Yeah, have I told this story on the show before?
About you like climbing out of that window?
Yeah. No, I don't think I have, right?
So maybe like not, either way. It's out again.
A month into living here, I like go to take a shower, and I pull the bathroom door closed, and the doorknob comes out in my hand. And I can't get out of the bathroom anymore. And so I'm like trying to go Law & Order SVU on the door and kick it open. And I'll tell you right now, that just does not work as intended. And wow. So I'm like, I'm like trapped in there, no clothes, no phone. And I am forced to take a fingernail clippers and like puncture a hole in the screen of the window, climb out the window into the alley in my underwear, walk around to the front of the building, and sit on the stoop until somebody lets me into my apartment.
That's we should make a short incredible. Film about that.
Oh my it's goodness.
Like, I just, mean, no just one that, would want to watch
no
it.
Dialogue, like, besides your interaction with, like, the person, and even there, like not really any. I'm serious, man. I would like, I think that would be an interesting, like, 2-minute, like, short film.
I'm on board, man. Well, you probably want to have a more photogenic actor, but...
Shut the fuck up. Vince is, like, a beautiful man. I think you...
I believe that's it. Not even... I believe it.
Dude, that's not even...
Hey, I meant it. I really did mean it.
You're beautiful too, man. We're all beautiful. But
well,
yeah, that's just...
Oh, okay. So, well, that kind of, like, took away from calling me beautiful.
I just... Well, that was, like, a bad way to receive a compliment, right? I'm all about those.
Yeah, no, I really
compliment.
Mean it, man. I think you're a great-looking dude.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
But it's only one of 1,000 problems with this apartment. But I love it in spite of its
flaws.
But
I'm only one of 1,000 men in the dude, come on.
The important thing is, though, right, that even despite its flaws, I love it. And that's what makes it home, is that I feel at home here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the kind of, like, fucked up things about it, you start to really love.
The imperfections are its perfections. But also, I'm kind of like a massive annoyance.
All right, Edgar Allan. Da-doom, da-doom, da-doom.
Well, hey, should we jump back in now?
No, let's talk about
this. Let's stay out.
Yeah, so...
We always like to wrap the show up in two ways. Or actually, one way with two parts.
A few ways.
Well, it's like one way. But there's two questions we ask every guest at the end of the show. And they are, in order... How can our listeners...
In very specific order. So don't answer them out of order.
Oh my God, Grant, please.
Sorry.
How can our listeners support you, Kara? And secondly, if you would like them, the listeners, to take one thing away from your time on the episode, what would that be?
Oh, goodness. As far as support
goes... URLs, I mean...
Yeah, you can check out my work.
I like the way you said that.
My work.
at carahaup.com. So that's K-A-R-A.
Yeah.
H-A-U-P-T.
U-P-T.
U-P-T.
U-P-T. we'll show notes that. We'll put a link in there.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And then Babe Vibes. You can check it out. It's awesome.
If you're a woman, you can check out Babe Vibes.
I don't want to hear about it. so yeah, it's babevibes.com.
Great. Cool. And so if you would like our listeners to take one thing away from your wonderful 60 minutes on 10,000 hours, what roughly would you have that be? Well, roughly.
Oh, God.
No pressure.
You're talking about waving the flag. I just mean, like, you started a pretty cool thing. And I think there are probably a lot of people who look at that as, like, whoa, you know, and who either want to start their own thing or want to know how to support something like that and embody it.
Yeah. I guess kind of like on a creative process level.
Yeah.
I think the fact that I took so much time to work on it or to let it evolve, because I did come up with this name and this concept, and I kind of came up with the concept. I didn't really have it really specific. In like the end of December, and I didn't launch the site until the middle of July. And I spent a lot of time like using the hashtag on Instagram and making these journal pages and making other things around this kind of this idea. feeling or idea. And that felt really good, because I feel like there's a lot of pressure, a lot of time to like feel like you have something, you figure out, and then you immediately make something with it. But the reality is you have to like let it stew. And the fact that I let it stew is why it's really, I think, can be successful. So I guess I didn't really talk about that before, but that's what I want everyone to know.
I mean, that's like,
great. Yeah, that's
like
that's
that is point. Like an important outside of that like marketing lesson too, is to say like test some things out and like don't put too many
eggs don't
in the basket
it.
Of the thing. Like, it's probably not going to be what you expected to be on launch. And if you really, like, you should be starting to build something before you, like, launch.
Yeah.
I think that's valuable.
That's well said. And I think it's something that that's something we kind of sometimes don't feel like we endorse, right? Because we're all about, like, going out and doing it. And I think
that's like podcast, though. I mean, that was 6 months in process before we ever launched it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what I was going to say was not that those aren't like contradictory or conflicting ideas. The fact that you should go out and do it doesn't always mean the fact that you should go out and force it out into the public eye right away.
Yeah.
Like starting something and working on something sometimes is this germination process, this allowing it to build momentum on its own internally before you like set it free on the world.
For sure. And I think that really jumps into like a couple of the last thoughts I have. And one is just in ownership. And I think it's really, really important that if you want to wave a flag, if you want to start a movement, if you want to be the head of a thing or be a part of a thing, you really need to know, of course, who you are, right? Okay, self-awareness. But you need to like know at least to an extent what you're standing for, and if you can't back that up, then it's like it's sort of frail. It can be very frail, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't stand for things and fight for things without having like this super comprehensive backlog of knowledge. But like if you haven't done the research, then like you shouldn't expect other people, you know, to. And if they have, then it's worse for you. And then jumping from there, I think the other point is, and I think this goes for creative work, I think this goes for debate, I think I'm specifically thinking about just our conversation about feminism and about this thing, which is like almost inherently uncomfortable for us to talk about, is like, I think it's really important to take the approach of like, as much as I like to value taking a stand on things, especially when you're selling work and like trying to pitch an idea, I think when you're talking about things like this, it's important to, you know, come with your perspective and own that and be comfortable or at least ready for that to be wrong or to be maybe not what you thought it was. And so I think be skeptical of yourself, especially in these sort of issues, you know.
This is like
creative work, but I mean, yeah, I mean, and this is something Karen and I talked about the other night, which is vulnerability. And so come with passion for your position as you know it,
absolutely,
but come with a sense of vulnerability to know that you might be and probably are, like, wrong, at least from the other person's perspective, and then try and like, figure out what that means, like, when you try and marry that with your own perspective. And also, like, know that as passionate as someone else can be, that might not be right in your world, too. Mm-hmm. And so don't just, like, you know, kind of bend over, because that just creates, you know, a bunch of bending, you know. Figure out what you believe, and then figure out what the other person believes, and figure out how, like, that fits into your equation, and how that can, like, improve your equation, or maybe where you were wrong. So I guess that's, like, I just a general approach that I
not to, like, think, speak, and act in absolutes. And I think that was a well said statement there, Grant.
Vince.
This guy.
He just blushed.
Grant is a great blusher.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you for sure.
Getting red over here. It's pretty warm.
Oh, man.
Too,
well, so, hey, I thank you again, Kara. This was a great conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking the time. I think you're doing cool things. And
well, it doesn't
I think,
matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that I think it, but I do think it, and I appreciate you taking the time. Grant, I think if you could ask her to do the honors,
I would love to. So, Kara, we do this every episode, regardless of gender, regardless of race. It's, you know, independent of all of those factors. We end the show on, we just say ship it? I was wondering if maybe...
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Cool.
All right, here we go. Ship it.
Yeah, that was perfect. And you know what's perfect about it? It was perfect in its imperfection, you know?
That's right. No,
how
it was
imperfect?
It was a great ship it.
Listen,
thanks
Kara,
again.
It's irrelevant. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.